will tape CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2018 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, July the 7th, 2018, Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service teaching on healthy bones.
Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that your name is above every name. Thank you that you have highly exalted Jesus and given him a name that's far above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of those in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Lord, we do confess you are Lord. We thank you that you're the healer, the deliverer, the Savior. We thank you that you're our great physician. We thank you that you are great. You're so smart. We thank you and praise you, Lord. We glorify you. We honor you. We say you're the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And we just bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. We bind you in the heavenly places and on this earth, forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us or this meeting, against Meryl and Barbara, Patty, Kevin, Rick, against Dan, Crystal, and Linda, and anyone else that's associated with this camp and everybody that's here in Jesus' name. Lord, we just praise you and bless you. Well, this title of this message is called Healthy Bones. Do you need bone healing? I think we probably all do. We see the things that bring in bone problems. But there's a scripture, and I love this scripture, that says, and all my bones will say, ugh, there's no one like you, Lord. I added that little ugh. How many of you know that deliverance is an ongoing process? It's a part of the sanctification process. You see sin, you turn away from it, you get more conformed into the image of Christ. Praise God. Praise God for the body of Christ, right? If we were all, you know, if we were all ears, we'd look kind of funny, wouldn't we? God gives us all different gifts, and I'm so blessed to be in the prayer teams, because sometimes when I'm stumped for something, somebody else in the prayer team comes up with the exact thing that's needed. And so, praise God that He didn't create us all alike. Praise God that we need each other, and all of us are a part. You know, the Bible says that if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. You see, the cleansing thing that comes through walking in love, and we don't walk in love. So, Lord, we pray that you make us people that walk in love. And, Lord, I ask you to forgive me for all the times I haven't loved and that I didn't even know what love was. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. So let all your bones say, there's no one like you, Lord. Strong's Exhaustion Concordance states that bones means essence, which is the basic, real, and invisible nature of things, your substance, and yourself. And the Old Testament gives numerous examples of bones used in analogies to describe man's soul, both positive and negative. And there are other instances in the scriptures where bones are mentioned. You know, in Genesis 50, verse 25, Joseph requested of the children of Israel that when not to leave his bones in Egypt, but to bring his bones into the promised land. And then I looked for the scripture. Maybe somebody knows where this scripture is. But didn't Satan argue with God over what's going to be done with Moses' bones? It's in Jude. Okay, thank you. I was looking for it, but it wasn't in my concordance. So there's something about bones. This is just a little bitty teaching on bones. And there's so much about bones we don't even understand. But if Satan argued with God over Moses' bones, there's something we need to know about bones. Is that right? And if Joseph didn't want his bones left in Egypt, wanted him to be brought into the promised land, we need to understand about bones. I told my son once, Kyle, I said, Kyle, when I die, I don't want to be buried in a graveyard. I want to be buried right out there on that clearing. He said, well, Mom, I'd be afraid something would dig you up and say, hey, buddy, what you got in your mouth? Oh, goodness. I guess I've ministered to too many people that have come out of Satanism to know what the Satanists do to graves. But we just need to cover our grave right now with the blood of Jesus, wherever that is. But we won't be there. Amen? So Joseph, in fact, in another scripture, and I didn't write it down, but it said that Moses carried Joseph's bones into the promised land. Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 37, had a vision of dry bones. And in that passage, it says, and if you have your Bible, sometimes it's better to read along and you get a greater understanding. I have to use this iPad because I'm reading a paper Bible again, but it's like, see, Dick, run, Sally. It's kind of like a first grade reader, right? But praise God, He sent His word to heal me, and it's difficult, but I'm now, after a couple of years, able to read paper Bible, but it's not easy. But I feel like I'm doing that by faith. Amen? He sent His word to heal me. Ezekiel 37, verse 1 through 11. And He said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And before He says that, He said He had this vision, but it was the whole house of Israel, which is really, this is really the condition of the church. Double-minded, not really born again, but just have a religious spirit, just deal with the outward appearance, don't deal with their heart issues. But it says, son of man, can these bones live? And He answered, O Lord, Thou knowest. And again He said to me, prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. And I believe this is one of the roots to lung problems, dry bones. And that could cover lots of different breathing problems, emphysema, COPD, asthma. Yes. Verse 6 says, and I will put sinews on you and make flesh grow back on you and cover you with skin and put breath in you that you may come to life and that you may know that I am the Lord. So this is a picture of a dead church. And we see this. 95% of church members are not even saved. They just have a yeah, but attitude. I don't really believe that. Yeah, but must say something somewhere else. You know, if you don't love the truth, ask God to give you a love of the truth, because if you don't, you're going to be greatly deceived in these days we're living in, and give you a love for the Word of God. Sometimes you don't love the Word of God because you didn't love your daddy's Word. I remember the first seminar I taught, one of the girls that had been in the ministry, she said, you know, she came up to me and she said, I just don't like to listen to the Word. And I said, well, what about your daddy? Did you like to listen to your daddy's Word? She went, every time he'd say a word, I'd go, I can't stand his voice. She repented, and about 3 months later, she was in my kitchen. She said, do you remember when I told you that I couldn't stand the Word of God? She said, I love to read the Word of God now. And this girl still prays for me to this day after all these years. And goodness, I started the ministry for him probably in 1994. So she's still a friend, still prays, a woman of prayer and a woman of the Word. And so a lot of things relate that we don't even get the connection to. I'll just mention this too. If you have a problem with your prayer life, that goes back to tell me you never communicated with your earthly father or your earthly mother. That has to do. So you believe a lie that God don't want to talk to you either. So renounce that if that's true of you. He says, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these that are slain, that they may come to life. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and the breath came into them, and they came together and stood on their feet, an exceeding great army. So he wants us to be an exceeding great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. So you see the mental state of a person that has dry bones. His hope's cut off. We are cut off. We're hopeless. So examine these things, these symptoms, if this is true of your life. Be repenting as you hear the word going forth. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people. So you see he's talking about his people. And I will bring you into the land of Israel, that's into your inheritance. And so you see that people that have dry bones are in a grave, so there's death working. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. And I will put my spirit within you and you will come to life. And I will make them, verse 22, and I'll make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel, and one king will be king over them, for all of them, and they'll no longer be two nations, but one no longer divided to two kingdoms. So you see, they're double-minded. You see, they have two kings. You know, the flesh, the devil. You know, if Jesus isn't Lord, Satan is. You may say, well, he'll never be my Lord. Well, if Jesus isn't your Lord, Satan is. So the one king, where there's been two kings, two nations, one nation instead of two nations. You see, double-mindedness, two kingdoms. And they'll no longer defile themselves with their idols. So you see the idolatry of this God's people, why they have no breath in them, why they've got death, why they have no life. You know, if Jesus is not Lord of your life and you're not living under the Lordship of Jesus, you need to check out your salvation. Jesus said, if you're going to come after me, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me. And sometimes even more daily, minute by minute. It says, they will no longer, after he puts life in them, they'll no longer. And that's a picture of a born-again experience with God. Not that we haven't had idols, but when we see it, we turn from it. It says, they'll no longer defile themselves with their idols, with their detestable things, or with any of their transgressions. But I will deliver them from all the dwelling places which they have sinned. And so, if you're not dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God, you're dwelling in sin somewhere else. Because if you're not under God's refuge, you're in sin. It says, and you will cleanse them, I will cleanse them, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. My servant David, which is the type of Jesus, will be king over them, and they will have one shepherd where they've had two shepherds. The shepherd of death, the shepherd of life, one shepherd, Jesus, and they will walk in my ordinances and keep my statutes and observe them. They will live on the land that I gave to Jacob, my servant, to which your fathers lived, and they will live on it, and they and their sons' sons forever. And my servant David, type of Jesus, will be their prince forever. Then I will make a covenant of peace with them. And see, this is also a picture of he'll keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed upon him, when your idols are gone. When we have idols, we don't have peace. We get angry if we don't get it, and if we don't have it, we fear we won't get it. If we have it, we fear we'll lose it, and we get depressed when we don't have it, and et cetera, et cetera. 1 Samuel 15:23 says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and all iniquity is as idolatry. He says, I'm going to make a covenant of peace with them. And Ezekiel 34 says, you'll be able to sleep in the wilderness. and nothing will harm you. So you don't have to fear ISIS. You don't have to fear anything, because when you are in God's covenant of peace, dwelling in His secret place, you're protected. And it will be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. So He's going to bring down His sanctuary, which is more real than this building we're living in. We're in. It is my dwelling place. Also will be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And the nations will know, that's ISIS and all these guys that are doing all kinds of mean things, will know that I am the Lord your, I'm the Lord who sanctifies Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever. Hallelujah. What a promise. You see, it's a picture of not being born again and a picture of being born again. Not that people that are born again can't have dry bones, because we can. But God wants us to see in the Word of God why we have some dry bones. There's bones that vex your, there's bones, your bones can be vexed, your bones can be rotten, your bones can be dismayed, out of joint. Just a few. It's that in both of these instances, bones have a deeper meaning than just a physical bone. In this context, bones mean a man's soul. And likewise, the Valley of Bones symbolizes Israel, the church. And so God had him prophesy over him to prophesy life. Other instances in the Old Testament verify that man's bones have a spiritual meaning. For example, and I'd like for someone to read this in 2 Kings, I think it's 2 Kings, somebody read the 2 Kings 13:21 here in just a minute. And so we know that when the prophet Elisha was buried, they threw a dead body into his grave, and his body was resurrected. And so that's really a picture of the spirit of Yeshua in that person. So somebody read 2 Kings 13:21. Okay, real loud, Ted.
And it came to pass as they were burying a man, and behold, they spied a band of men. And they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet.
So you see how bones even have healing power. Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, can make a man's soul alive. In John 11:24-25, Martha said to him, "Know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies." In Job 20:11, Job refers to his bones as being full of sin. So we know that bones cannot have sin dwelling in them. So it's speaking, it has a spiritual implication. But we do know that bones are a repository of minerals for our bodies. Psalm 6:2, David stated that his bones were vexed. And vexed means annoyed. So are you a person that lives in annoyance, frustrated, worried, especially in trivial matters, worried about the least little bitty thing? That's a picture of having your bones being vexed. And we know that Christians can have their bones vexed. In both cases, one can see that bones are used here as an analogy to refer to the state and condition of a man's soul or of the human soul. And, you know, Jesus referred to the Pharisees, which is a picture of church members today. We think the Pharisees are not here. The religious people are still here. You can't tell them anything. You can't teach them anything. They're know-it-alls. Yeah, but, and they're famous for saying, if you share the word with them, yeah, but I don't really believe that. Well, you know what? It don't matter what anybody believes. It matters only what God said. It says, even Jesus himself referred to the teachers and leaders of Israel, and likening them to dead men's bones in open graves. Matthew 23:7, Jesus warned the scribes and the Pharisees. Let me tell you, you can know if it's a religious spirit if they're dealing with the outward appearance and never deal with their heart issues. A person with religious spirit, a lot of times they're into perfectionism or performance. And a person that's into perfectionism won't ever say they're sorry. They never do anything wrong, because if they said they were wrong about anything, then they wouldn't be perfect anymore. So they won't take accountability for their sin. And that's a religious spirit. And Jesus said in Matthew 23:27, "Woe to you, unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness." I remember a lady that moved in with me some years back in about 1990. And she came from, all the way came from Maine, and she brought a little bag lady she picked up on the street. And the lady had never taken a bath until she met Grace. But anyway, Grace would say, "Now, honey, did you read your Bible today?" And so she'd sit there with her Bible, and she didn't have any, and I'm not making fun because she didn't have any teeth, but she would go, she'd be reading. Well, I remember that scene of how her, she would pretend she was reading the Bible. Well, about 5 years later, after they moved out, Grace brought her to a seminar and said, "You know, she's got a body odor." She said, "Will you do some deliverance on her?" So I didn't have the slightest idea what the problem was. But then when I was praying for her, the Lord let me know she had a religious spirit, and that was a spirit of death. If you're like an open sepulcher, you smell bad. And so when you're around, there are some people that have a bad body odor. It's a religious spirit. I had a son that was living a homosexual lifestyle, but even before he was into the, well, I shouldn't say that, because he said he got into that when he was 3 years old. And so if he had been lined up and there was 100 people and I'd be blindfolded, I could find him by his odor. And after he got saved, and he was dying with AIDS, and his body was rotting, I mean, he had herpes lesions around his rectum. He went blind in his eye, had constant cough, had to wear a diaper. His skin was rotting. I mean, we were the place where we had to wrap his skin because his skin was rotting. He never had a body odor that whole time. He was dying of AIDS. Praise God, died in total peace, with no pain medication, no medication. And the nurse told me that people with AIDS die such a painful death that even with morphine, they have to be tied to the bed. I got the morphine, and I said, "Son," the day before he died, I said, "Son, does anything hurt you?" He said, "No, Mom." I ended up pouring all that morphine down the toilet. He died in total peace, pain-free. But you know what? He had a very forgiving heart, which was one good thing about him. His stepfather, who treated him so bad, about a few days before he died, Todd was in this hospital bed and facing the door where his stepfather was standing in the door. The stepfather, tears were coming down his cheeks. And my son said, "Bob, I love you." Well, he'd only been there like 3 days, and Bob said, "I don't want no homosexual with AIDS in my house." You know, that was his attitude. But he had a very forgiving heart. You know, unforgiveness and vexation of the heart causes pain, turns you over to the tormentors. And praise God, he wasn't tormented. Praise God, the nurse also told me that he wasn't under a doctor's care, but this was hospice, said that people that died of AIDS, you know, people with homosexual AIDS, they get dementia. She wanted to know how he was thinking. And I said, "This boy has never been thinking so straight in his whole life." Somebody asked him, "How many of you remember Cullen Davis? Supposedly he killed somebody in the Grapevine area." Cullen came out every week and ministered deliverance to Todd. And he asked him one day, he said, "Todd, if you could live or die, what would you choose?" He said, "I'd choose to go and be with Jesus." And he said, "Well, what if God wanted you to live?" He said, "Then I would live." His favorite verse was, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. I was good that I was afflicted, because now I keep his word." Amen? You know, spankings are good if you learn from them. But also as a fool, don't learn anything. Praise God, I look forward to seeing him again in heaven. My oldest son never gave me one problem his whole life. That one gave me nothing but problems. But praise God, he got sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and less selfish every day. So I thank the Lord. Amen. And so Jesus said, which indeed, speaking of the Pharisees, you appear outward, beautiful outwardly, but inside you're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. And that would be a stench of death. Does God say you're an aroma of life or you're an aroma of death? So he was telling the Pharisees and people with a religious spirit that their souls were spiritually dead. And that's really, the Pharisees really is a picture of people with religious spirits, and the church is full of them. It's a picture of Ezekiel 37. So the soul of man in the skeletal system symbolically represents man's invisible soul, because bones remain long after the flesh rots off the bone. And I don't know, is Randy in here?
Not yet.
Not yet. I'm sure some of the places where they've dug in some of these pyramids, they found bones that have been there for thousands of years. So the long-lasting nature of bones proves that the soul is the immortal part of us humans that will continue to exist long after physical death. 1 Corinthians 15:14, Paul confirms this by saying, it is sown a natural body and is raised as a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there's a spiritual body. And here's some facts about bones. The human spirit enters the bones at conception. The minute a baby, the sperm meets the mother's egg, the spirit enters the bones. Bones in the spirit of man and God have a special direct relation. There's something more precious and important spiritually and physically about bones, even more so than any other part of the body. Bones immediately and directly register sin and righteousness, sickness and wholeness, dryness and moistness. Sin sometimes results in broken bones. Confession of sin. If you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Now, if you don't really mean it, God knows that. But if he knows your heart, he knows you mean it, then he says he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Confession, repentance, and the fear of the Lord result in refreshment to the bones. And in Acts 4 or Acts 5, I don't know which, talks about how they repented, and it says times of refreshment came in the presence of the Lord. So when we repent, our bones are refreshed. And God's people took special care to provide for man's bones long after death. And we've already mentioned what happened when the dead body was thrown into Elisha's grave. And so listen to these simple but corroborative facts from the Reader's Digest Encyclopedia regarding bones, pages 527 and 528. It says, bones are the source of vital constituents of blood. They are the storehouse from which the calcium of blood plasma is obtained. The pores and cavities are filled with red marrow, and marrow consists largely of blood corpuscles in all stages of development. About 5 million mature blood cells are produced and released every second. The blood platelets of formation and the white cells which protect body against infection are also formed in the red blood marrow. The shafts, the long bones of the arms and the hollow bones are filled with yellow marrow, a fatty substance from whose function is not really totally known. And so what's this have to say about bursitis, tendonitis, leukemia, cancer, arthritis? My grandmother, I was wondering the other day what this was, because I thought, well, you know, after I had that fall, I'm thinking maybe I got, she used to say she had neuralgia. Have you ever heard of that? What is that?
I think she's talking about
something like
neuropathy.
No.
Inflammation of the nerves.
A what?
Neuralgia.
Right.
Inflammation of the nerves.
What is it? Have you ever heard of it?
Nerve pain.
Yeah. Nerve pain. Okay. Right. Well, neuropathy is when your feet kind of get numb, isn't it?
That is nerve pain.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. So what's this to say about all these things? What does it have to say about the ability to rebuild bones, the body's ability to regain body strength through the blood? And what does it have to say about the relation of blood, bones, and health? What does it have to say about the effect of in utero rejection? If a baby hears his mother and daddy fighting, screaming, violence, or attempts at abortion, quarrels between the parents, violence. And what does it have to say about the body of Christ, the blood of Christ in healing, and the practicality of the Bible as a guide for wholeness? And I can tell you, the Bible says he sent his word to heal you. And that's how I've remained. I thank God for good health. But when I get something wrong, I don't run to the doctor and I don't call the doctor. I go right to the word and look for what the problem is. Because the Bible says he sent his word to heal you. And some of the things that you, the side effects, Carla named some of them. The side effects from drugs is number 3, medical mistakes and the side effects of prescription drugs, not even illegal drugs, is the number 3 and 4 killer of people in the United States. So she was talking, Carla was talking about how someone she knew for osteoporosis took a medicine for osteoporosis and it deteriorated her jaw. So if your own medication is not a common, I'm not trying to condemn you, but the Bible says the truth makes you free. And so you need to check out the side effects. Personally, I don't take drugs at all. The great physician has to be the one that heals me. And what does it have to say about the relation of our spirit to our soma? And our soma is the part of an organism other than our reproductive cells? Or what does it have to say about Jesus Christ being the Lord and the temple and the great position of our body, the temple? And prednisone is another thing that can destroy bone density and other drugs, the side effects. The side effects, you know, you go to the doctor and he gives you medication, and the side effects, every side effect's another disease. So if you don't have anything wrong with your body and you're taking something, you're just putting more diseases in your body. Bone marrow problems, lack of diligence. Proverbs 13, if you're diligent in the things of God, you know, we can be diligent in lots of things. Diligence is the opposite of slothfulness and laziness. The soul of the sluggard in Proverbs 13:4 craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat, which is marrowy. Means that person that's diligent has healthy bone marrow. Broken bones because of sin. Psalms 51:8. Make me to hear the joy of gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. It didn't say the devil broke them. It said God broke them. The bones that you, Lord, have broken, let them rejoice. And suppose our bones are burning within. It can be because we fail to... we've got... God shut up in us, like Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 20, verse 9. It says, but if I say I'll not remember him or speak any more in his name, then in my heart it becomes like a fire burning, shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it in, and I cannot contain it or endure it. Psalm 6:2 says, be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am pining away. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are dismayed. And the pining means, let's see, where does it say that? Pining away means to yearn deeply, to suffer from longing, maybe being separated from someone that you love, to fail gradually in health or vitality, from grief, regret, or longing, having dry bones, bitterness. Job, and let me say, the things you go through, if you're not dealing with them at the cross, through repentance, to get conformed to the image of Christ, you'll be bitter. If you don't go, there's a throne of grace we can go to, and there we get strengthened, confirmed, established, and perfected as we take our problems to the Lord and deal with them His way. and repent of whatever the Lord shows us, forgive whoever we need to forgive, and we get conformed into the image of Christ, and God uses that trial for our greatest good. If you come short of the grace of God and you don't deal with it at the throne of grace, you get bitter. You get a root of bitterness. And so dry bones and the people with a religious spirit do not deal with their sin because, and they're bitter. Job 21 verse 23 says one, and I want you, as I read this, I want you to think, which kind of person are you? It says one person dies in full strength, being wholly satisfied and at ease. His sides are filled out with fat, not overweight Crisco fat, but filled out with in other words, healthy bone marrow. And the marrow of his bones is moist. So when you have dry bones, that's not good. When you have moistness, it is. It says, while another dies with a bitter soul, never ever tasting anything good, which kind of person are you? Together they lie down in the dust, and worms cover them. So you're a person that's going to die in full strength, your sides out with fat, healthy bone marrow, moist? Are you one with a bitter soul, never tasting anything good? You know, I've heard Dave Wilkerson say once when he was alive, some people look at the mud and see stars, and some people look at the stars and see mud. You know, a lot has to do with our mental attitude. Our mental attitude tells the world what we expect from life, doesn't it? And that's a quote from Catherine Kuhlman, a great woman of God. Together they lie down in the dust and worms cover them. Okay, bones on fire, spiritual adultery. The whole book of Lamentations has to do with the harlot, the spiritual adulterer, the idolater. And so when we pray a prayer to receive Jesus as Savior, we're going to be the bride of Christ. And when our heart goes after idols, something that we love more than Jesus, and can I tell you, your anger is an idol, your fear is an idol, your depression is an idol, your bitterness is an idol, because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And so spiritual adultery is committing adultery against your bridegroom Jesus. Lamentations 1:13 says, from on high he sent fire into my bones. Now God did this. He didn't say the devil did it. We bring the devil for everything when God's the one that's letting the devil get us. We say that again. We're always saying, oh, the devil's after me. No, God's trying to teach you something, and he's letting the devil whip up on you. If you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh, the Bible says. And Romans 8:1 says, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's where people usually stop. It says, to those who walk after the Spirit and not the flesh. So if you walk after the flesh, you're going to walk in condemnation. If there's something that you know you're not supposed to be doing, you keep doing it, you're going to live under a cloud of condemnation and guilt. And the only solution is not antidepressants. The only solution is going to the throne of grace and getting your heart right with God and giving up your life. But to follow Jesus, you have to give up your life. And sometimes it can be lonely because nobody wants to go with you. I shouldn't say that. I never felt a lonely day in my life. I live by myself since 1997, and I have not had one lonely minute in all those years because God's always there. Not that I have a great relationship with God, but it's like I want to live in God's presence. His presence is on my land, on my property. I never feel like that God's not there. And part of that is because my daddy was always there. You know, if you grew up and you didn't have a daddy, and I'm not blaming, this is not psychology to get you to blame your dad for anything, but it's how we respond to life is what we are accountable for. But if you grew up and didn't have a daddy or mother around, then the lie in God's not there either. And that's a lie. So whatever the problem is, find out the reason. It says, from on high, he, God, sent fire into my bones, and it prevailed over me. He has spread a net for my feet. Now, who gets me when I have a net on my feet? He has turned me back, and he's made me desolate, faint all day long. So you see a fainting spirit, weakness. Okay, lean bones. Not, that has to do with bad news not dealt with at the throne of grace. And that's the, not to go to God with the bad news and find out what he's trying to teach you and commit it to him. Proverbs 15:30 says, bright eyes gladden the heart. Good news puts fat on the bones. If your bones are out of joint, it can be because people have troubled you, spoke curses over you, run their mouth on you, cursed you. Psalms 22:14 says, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. Okay, bones being pierced. And I really like a different translation with this one, but it says your bones are pierced, gnawing pains, and fever. Has to do with pride, self-righteousness, feet turned on, feel like that you've been turned on. Job 30 verse 1 says, because he has loosed, now speaking of God, has loosed his bowstring and afflicted me, they have cast off the bridle before me. On the right hand, their brood arises. They thrust aside my feet and build up against me. And it's talking about the demon powers that God allows to do this. They make their, it says, cast aside my feet and build up against me their ways of destruction. They break up my path. My friend Milt Green used to say it's them, speaking of the powers of darkness. They profit from my destruction. No one restrains them because my covenant partner has backed off. He's my protector and covenant partner, but if I'm in sin, the hedge is down. Verse 14. As through a wide breach they come, and the tempest they roll on. Terrors are arrayed against me. They pursue my honor as the wind, and my prosperity has passed away like a cloud. And now my soul is poured out within me. Days of affliction have seized me. At night it pierces my bones within me, and my gnawing pains take no rest. Now this is in Job 30, and if you've got this problem, go back and study Job 30. It says, my skin turns black on me, and my bones burn with fever. Okay, rotten bones has to do with wives shaming their husbands. Proverbs, you know, there's nothing more grievous to me than to hear women put their husbands down when they're with them or they're not with them. And it's grievous to God. And you know why it bothers me so much? Because I used to do it. You see, sometimes when you go through things and you see something that grieves you so bad, God's trying to show you you did the very same thing. Praise God, I don't do that anymore. I wouldn't do it anymore. But you know, we're so ignorant about so many things. And God says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. Proverbs 12:4 says, an excellent wife is a crown to her husband, but she that shames him is as rottenness to his bones. Another thing that rottens your bones is envy and jealousy. And it's not talking about when it says rivalry, anger, rivalry. It means passion, not necessarily sexual passion, but anger, rivalry. Proverbs 14:30 says, a tranquil heart is life to the body, but passion rottens the bones. And then it says envy rottens the bones. One translation says passion. Envy, jealousy, rivalry rottens the bones. So if you're a jealous, envious person, and you have anger, and you have rivalry, then that can open you up to rotten bones. Bones scattered. When you bend down against the saints and you bend down toward another Christian, bending down toward the righteous. Psalms 53:5 says, there they were in great fear where no fear had been. For God scattered the bones of him who encamps against you. You put them to shame because God has rejected them. And when our bones are scorched and cling to our flesh, it can have to do with people shaming you, deriding you, cursing you. Psalms 102 verse 3 says, "For my days have been consumed like smoke, and my bones have become scorched like the hearth. My heart has been smitten like grass and has withered away. Indeed, I forget to eat bread. Because of the longing, the loudness of my groaning, my bones cling to my flesh. I resemble a pelican of the wilderness. I have become like an owl in the waste places. I lie awake. I have become like a lonely bird on a housetop. My enemies have reproached me." Now, who does Paul say your enemies are? Principalities and powers. "My enemies have reproached me all day long. Those who deride me have used my name as a curse." And then if your bones are shattered, or you have bones that shatter, could be from being reviled. Psalms 42 verse 10 says, "As a shattering of my bones, adversaries." Now, who's your adversary? You don't think we don't need deliverance. The truth makes you free. You don't need a deliverance minister to get deliverance. Deliverance is just James 4:7, "Give yourself to God and resist the devil and he'll flee." But how a deliverance minister can help you sometimes is 35 years of experience can give you truth that makes you free. In fact, I had a lady call me from Oklahoma, and she said, "I'm getting ready to have hip surgery. Do you have any insight?" And immediately I said, and it was the Holy Spirit, I said, "Well, when you were growing up, did you have to..." And she said, "And I'm a pastor now of a church in Oklahoma." I don't even know the lady's name. And she said, I said, "Well, when you were growing up, did you have to carry your brothers and sisters on the hip? Did you have to be the mother, the daddy?" She said, "How did you know?" And I said, "Now you're a pastor. You've been trained up to carry everybody on your hip. And now you're a pastor and you're carrying your whole congregation." And she said, "You don't have to pray for me. I'm already healed." The truth set her free. Amen? But I can tell you 99% of the deliverance that I've gotten over the years is through aligning my life with the Word of God. I've had people pray for me, but it's been very minimum. Thank God Carla prayed for me a while ago. Thank God for those of you who pray for me. I appreciate it. But let me tell you something. If you got God, James 4:7 is deliverance in a nutshell. Give yourself to God through repentance 100% and resist the devil and he'll flee. And usually it's boo demon. The minute you repent, it's boo demon. Psalms 42 verse 10 says, "And as a shattering of my bones, my adversaries revile me, and they say to me all day long, where is your God? What if? What if? What if this? What if that? What if you go broke? What if your wife leaves? What if your husband leaves? What if your kids get put in jail? What if, what if, what if? Where is your God?" And then if your bones are sick, can have to do with people speaking unkind, bitter words. The Bible says pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. So somebody, if you've been most of your life, people cursing you with the wrong kind of words, it's caused your bones to be sick. So solution, forgive them. Break soul ties with them. Break the power of the word. Bones stick out. Job 33, verse 16 says, "Then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction, that man may turn aside from his conduct and delivered from his pride. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from passing over into Sheol. Man is also chastened and with pain on his bed, with unceasing complaint in his bones, so that his life loathed bread, and his soul's favorite food. His flesh wastes away from sight, and his bones, which we have not seeing stick out, and then having bones that tremble. Spiritual adultery of the prophets and the priests. Jeremiah had something to say to false prophets, and let me tell you something, there's a lot of them around. One popular one in Texas is into Kabbalah, Jewish Kabbalah, into entertaining the host of heaven. And I'm not going to give you his name, but I've also heard that a couple of people in that place that lead that church are homosexuals. Jeremiah 23, and God loves homosexuals. I'm not against them at all. Homosexuality is no worse than adultery or gluttony or anything else. And sin is sin. God doesn't have big sins and little sins, except blessing and the Holy Spirit. 23:9. For the prophets, my heart is broken within me, Jeremiah said. All my bones tremble. I have become like a drunken man, even like a man overcome with wine, because of the Lord and because of his holy words. Having thirsty bones. Your bones need the word of God. Lack of trust in the Lord. Lack of fear of the Lord. Leaning on your own understanding. Being wise in your own eyes. Failing to turn away from evil. And that's in Proverbs 3. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Hallelujah. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be refreshment. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Hallelujah. Having bones that are unhealthy is because of sin. Psalms, and I encourage you to read all of Psalms 38, but it starts out by saying, rebuke me not, O Lord, in your wrath. And then it goes on to say, there's no soundness in my flesh because of my sin. Because of thine indignation, there's no health in my bones because of my sin. It goes on to say, I am bent over and greatly bowed down because of the agitation of my heart. Is your heart agitated? Do you live in agitation? You know, these things that we put up with in our life, anger, we put it up with unforgiveness, we put up with fear. Did you know if fear is in your life, you've got to get it out? If anger is in your life, you've got to deal with it. If depression is in your life, you've got to get it out. The repentance, you don't just live with these things, because if you live with them, you're not overcoming. Amen? Pain has to go. The Bible says, remove vexation from your heart and put pain out of your body. Vexation is hurt, idolatry, wrath, indignation, and it's idolatry because someplace back in my life I didn't turn to God. I turned to something else, and that vexation is still there in my heart. God says, remove it from your heart and you can put it out of your body. Psalms 109, verse 18 says, but he clothed himself with cursing, as with a garment, and it entered into his body like water and like oil into his bones. And that's people that love to curse others because you love cursing. And so if we want happy, rejoicing bones, healthy bones, then here is the antidote, is to bless God's children. Psalms 35 verse 10 says, all my bones will say, Lord, there's no like, no one delivers the afflicted from him who's too strong for him, and the afflicted and the needy from him who robs him. And then rejoicing over Jerusalem, rejoicing over the church. Isaiah 66:14 says, then you shall see this, and your heart shall be glad. And your bones shall flourish like the new grass. And read all of 66:14. If you've got, I like this in the Amplified Bible, but read all of Isaiah 66, the whole chapter. It says, and your bones will flourish like the new grass, and the land of the Lord shall be made known to the servant, to his servants, but he shall be judgment toward his enemies. Be joyful with Jerusalem and rejoice over her. That's rejoice over the church. All you who love her, be exceedingly glad with her, and you who, and all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied with her comforting breast, there God comes as El Shaddai, that you may suck and be delighted with her bountiful bosoms. For thus says the Lord, behold, I extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall be nursed, you shall be carried on the hip, and fondled on the knees. It says in the Amplified Bible that God will pick you up. Let me back up. I have a picture of my daddy holding me on his hip when I was just about 2 or 3 years old. And that's a picture of God wanting to pick you up. You see daddies carrying their babies on their hips. And so the Amplified Version says God will pick you up on his maternal knees. He'll pick you up on his hip, and he will trottle you, which means lovingly bounce you up and down on his maternal knees. That's what that means. And sometimes in deliverance, we ask God to pick somebody up and put them on the hip, and they can actually feel God picking them up and putting them on the hip. Isaiah 66:13, as one who his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem. And when you see this, and your heart shall be glad, and your bones shall flourish like the new grass, and the hand of the Lord will be made known to his servants, but he shall be indignant toward his enemies. And another antidote to dry bones is choosing God's fast. In Isaiah 58, verse, behold, you fast for contention and strife, and to strike with a wicked fist. You do not fast like you do today to make your voices heard on high. Is it not the fast which I choose as a day for a man to humble himself? It is for bowing the head like a reed and for spreading out sackcloth and ashes as a bed. Will you call this a fast, even an acceptable day of the Lord? Is this not the fast which I choose to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see a naked man, cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Now this is what it says, don't hide yourself from your own flesh. That's not telling you to enable your child. Some of you and I have talked about this. When you enable a child, what you're doing is God's trying to give them a spanking for their wrong choices, and you're running out trying to be their savior and their refuge, and they'll never change as long as they have you as a savior. And then you get the spanking. If you picture it like this way, God's refuge, and you're under God's refuge, and your children should be under God's refuge, under this big umbrella, which is a picture, just an illustration of God's refuge. And your kid wants to get out from under that refuge and run out here in Satan's territory, and an enabling person runs out with their little dinky umbrella and tries to cover them, and they're out there, and they're the ones that get hit. And Carla told me this years ago, this scripture gave me an understanding of this scripture. It says, and she explained it to me, when my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. When my mother and father let me go, the Lord will take you up. And so as long as you're out there with your little dinky umbrella, you're the one that's getting the whipping. They're not getting nothing. It's like if you ever... Maybe a parent tried to spank you and the other parent said, oh, no, don't spank them. They're out there because God's trying to give them a spanking, and he's using the demons to whip up on them, and you're running out there trying to protect them, and the demons are hitting you. And then you're mad at the kid, and you're bitter, and have arthritis probably because the kid's taking all your money and keeps spending it. Makes you bitter. And so don't be an enabler. But... When you have somebody in your family that's trying to do right with all their heart, you should help them. Verse 8, when you do this, your light will break out as the dawn. I love this promise. And your recovery will speedily spring forth, and your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. When you call and the Lord, you, then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry and he will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of your finger, the speaking of wickedness, and if you divide your, if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness and your gloom like the, like will become like the midday. In other words, you won't be depressed anymore. And the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scarce places and give strength to your bones, and you will be like a well-watered garden, a spring of water whose waters never fail. Hallelujah. That means your bones are going to be moist, right? Verse 12. And those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will be, you will rise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called the repairer of the breach. And this really ties in with Isaiah 61 that says, he'll give you beauty. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to set the captive free, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a mantle of praise instead of the spirit of fainting, that they might be an oak of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And there you'll rebuild the former devastations of many generations, and you'll have a double portion, and you'll be like a royal diadem in the hand of the Lord whenever God does that for you. It says, and you'll raise up the age-old foundations, and you'll be called the repairer of the breach. The breaches are the places where people have sinned, leading people in repentance. You know, it says, the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. If because of the Sabbath you turn away your foot from doing your own pleasure, my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasures, and speaking your own words, then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride in the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And so, to have healthy bones, we have to enter God's rest, and we talked about that Friday morning. There's things that we have to conquer in our life. And whenever we have an idol, we don't have God's rest. It's nothing but unrest, stress, fear, anger, hurt, depression, etc., etc. So when we turn to God, there's none of those things in repentance. We turn to something else, and you're going to stay hurt. You're going to stay wounded. If you're a person that's got all these button pushers in your life, you're full of idols, and you've got to deal with all of those button pushers. And it's a process. Praise God. Bless God, you can be free. Praise God, we don't have to live in sin. Praise God for the truth that makes us free. Praise God for the Word of God. Let me tell you something. If you're not reading the Word of God every day, you're in trouble. So praise God. So stand up and ask the Lord if any of this applies to you. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to convict me of my sin. I ask you to show me, Lord, what I need to repent of. And I ask for the truth that makes me free. And Lord, I want all my bones to say, oh God, there's no one like you. Praise you, Jesus. Search my heart, oh God. Thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And when you don't sit down until you're through, but when you're through repenting, you can sit down, but don't sit down until you're through. I'm sensing some of you are just thinking, oh dear God, I'm in such trouble, it's just, I'm hopeless. You're not hopeless. God's the potter, and we're the clay full of junk, okay? We're all a work in progress. It's a part of the sanctification process. If you've been a person that has to perform, think you have to do it yourself, you're trying to turn the potter's wheel. All you have to remember is one thing, keep on yielding to God. Let him fashion you, mold you, make you, take all your junk out. If you're legalistic, you're thinking, oh dear God, I'm hopeless. But
Yes. You've been trying to do it yourself. Establish your righteousness by the your works, your good works. And that's rebellion. So just yield to the potter. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, thank you that I don't have to feel hopeless. Pray with me. Thank you that I don't have to feel hopeless. Thank you, you're the potter, and I'm the clay. And I'm a work in progress. And you fix the clay. You shape it, mold it, take the trash out. You fire the clay, you turn the potter's wheel, and all I have to do is stay under your lordship, under your control. And I ask you to control me, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that you're the resurrection and the life, and if I believe in you, that I live, even though I'm dead, I die. Lord, my bones, everybody pray with me, Lord, my bones have been full of sin. God, my bones have been dismayed. Forgive me for being annoyed, frustrated, worried over just trivial things. Forgive me for sin. Lord, my bones have been vexed, out of joint, dismayed, decayed, rotten. So forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for the sin that you've shown me. Thank you for showing me that I've not been walking in a good way. Lord, there's been sickness in my body because of sin. My relationship with you has not been right. My bones have been registering sin, dryness. And Lord, I want to have moist bones. I want healthy bones. Forgive me for the sin that's caused my bones to be broken. Lord, forgive me for taking medications that's deteriorated my bones. Forgive me for wickedness. Forgive me for sin that's caused cancer, arthritis, bursitis, leukemia, tendonitis, neuralgia, and any other malady. Forgive me for the lack of diligence that's caused my bones to be dry and not fat and caused my bone marrow to not be marrowy and healthy. Forgive me for not being diligent in the things of God. Forgive me for being diligent to run after my idols. Forgive me for sin that's caused my bones to be broken. Forgive me for not sharing the gospel that would cause it to be shut up within me like a fire. Forgive me for pining away. Forgive me for bitterness. And Lord, if I've been that person that would not die in my full strength, totally at ease and satisfied, my sides filled out with fat, and the marrow of my bones moist. God, if I'm a person that looks at the stars and sees mud, negativity, I want to be that person that can look at mud and see the stars. Forgive me for having a bitter soul, never tasting anything that's good. Forgive me for spiritual adultery. It would cause you to send fire into my bones and make me desolate and faint all day long. Forgive me for not dealing with bad news at your throne. Forgive me for not having bright eyes that gladden my heart. And the good news that puts fat on the bones. Forgive me for pride. I forgive every person that has shamed me and spoke evil and spoke curses over me. Put my bones out of joint. I forgive all my children, my grandchildren that have rejected me,
that's caused my bones to be out of joint. God, forgive me for idolatry, pride, self-righteousness, feeling like you've turned on me, which would cause my bones to be pierced and gnawing pains and fever in my bones. Forgive me for passion, anger, rivalry, jealousy, envy that's rotten my bones. If you're a wife, I ask you to forgive me for shaming my husband and rottening his bones. Forgive me for envy and jealousy and anger and rivalry. Not having a tranquil heart. Forgive me for cursing your children. Bending down against the righteous. God, forgive me for... I forgive those that have reproached me, derided me, cursed me, that would cause my bones to be scorched and cling to my flesh, and my heart to be smitten, withered away. Forgive me for the sin that would cause me to lie awake at night like a lonely bird on the housetop. My enemies to reproach me all day long, and those to deride me and use my name as a curse. Forgive me for reviling that would cause my bones to be shattered. I forgive every person who spoke unwholesome words toward me. And forgive me for speaking evil words to other people instead of speaking healing with my mouth. Lord, forgive me for pride that's caused my bones to stick out. Lord, forgive me for sitting under false prophets that prophesy words of their own imaginations. Lord, you said a true prophet will show me my sin, will say what you say, and your people would repent of their sin. God, I've been thirsty, not trusting you, not trusting you with my whole heart. Forgive me for leaning to my own understanding. Forgive me for not acknowledging you in all my ways. Forgive me for not making my path straight. I do that now. Forgive me, Lord, for not fearing you. Forgive me for fearing everything else. And Lord, I choose to fear you and turn away from evil now. And thank you that it'll be healing to my body and refreshment to my bones. Forgive me for every sin you've shown me that I've committed, all the ways I've been away from you. Forgive me for not rejoicing with Jerusalem. God, forgive me for not practicing Isaiah 58, your chosen fast. Forgive me for enabling my children. Lord, I ask you to pick me up on your hip. Cause my bones to flourish like new grass. And cause me to be like a well-watered garden. A spring of water that never fails. Forgive me for not being joyful with Jerusalem. Not loving her. Not loving the church. Forgive me for selfishness. Lord, I ask you to come as El Shaddai and pick every person up on your hip that needs you to do that. And throttle me and bounce me up and down on your God's maternal knees. And if you didn't have a nurturing father and mother, put your hands up and ask God to pick you up. Just like you, if you didn't have a nurturing mother and father, Father, I ask you to come and pick them up. And pick me up and put me on your hip and throttle me and lovingly bounce me up and down on your maternal knees. Come to me, Lord, as El Shaddai, the many-breasted God, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you for picking them up, Lord. Bless the Lord. Forgive me for being vexed. You can put your hands down now. Praise you, Lord. And Lord, I want to enter your rest by coming under your lordship. I take your yoke on my neck and I learn from you. For your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And you'll teach me everything I need to know. And I thank you, Lord. I receive your yoke. For those of you who didn't ask God, Lord, I come under your yoke. I break every yoke of bondage, all spirits of unrest. Go now. I break soul ties. Pray with me. I break soul ties with every person I've sinned with or who sinned against me. I forgive every person. Forgive my mother and father. Forgive me for all the times I've let the sun go down on my anger and wrongly responded to how I was trained up, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses of bone problems in Jesus' name. We come against fear, doubt, unbelief, rebellion in Jesus' name, idolatry, reviling, shaming, reproach in Jesus' name. Just take a deep breath, blow out. We come against all spirits of rebellion, a Pharisee spirit. We come against open the sepulchres. All spirits of body odor come out now in Jesus' name. Lord, I prophesy to the breath and I say, oh breath, come and breathe on these that are slain. Lord, I ask you to cause sinews to grow. I ask you, Lord, to put your spirit in them. Bring down your tabernacle on them. Forgive me, Lord. Pray with me. Forgive me, Lord, for idolatry. Forgive me for having two kings, two kingdoms, being double-minded. Forgive me for idolatry. Lord, I make you, Lord Jesus, the shepherd over my life. I make you the king over my life. Now, Lord, I ask you to bring down your tabernacle in the midst in Jesus' name. I ask you, Lord, to cause them to live in such a way that the world will know that your sanctuary is in the midst of your children in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, for those who've never been born again but just have a head knowledge of God, Lord, I submit my life to you. I ask for true salvation experiences, Lord, for each person that cries out to you. I come against fear, worry, anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness. Come out now in Jesus' name. Just blow out. Come out in the name of Jesus. I break the power of frustration, agitation, anger, aggravation, bitterness, resentment, anger, hostility. I come against all pride, arrogance, boastfulness, egotism. Come out now. All dry bones, all dryness of bones, Lord, I loose on the moist bones in Jesus' name. I tear down every stronghold of mind control, strongholds of hot flashes in Jesus' name. Frustration, come out in Jesus' name. All spirits of adultery, fornication, TV addiction, I break your power. All spirits of Antichrist, come out now in Jesus' name. Hatred, variance, strife, emulation, I break your power. Wounded spirits. Insomnia, sleeplessness, go now in Jesus' name. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Come out now in Jesus' name. Praise you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Take a deep breath. Blow out in Jesus' name. The word spirit means breath. Praise you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. I take them out of all those swallowed up places in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just ask you to breathe on these that are slain in Jesus' name. Religious spirits, Pharisee spirits, come out now. Dead means bones, dry bones. Come out now in Jesus' name. Spirits that have vexed their bones, dismayed their bones, decayed their bones, rotten their bones. Come out now in Jesus' name. All crippling spirits, come out now. Every spirit that causes them to be crippled or lame, come out now in Jesus' name. We break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Arrogance, boastfulness, Leviathan, Python, Dagon, come out now. Mind control, come out. Divination, witchcraft, come out. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Depression, despair, despondency, hopelessness, come out now. And Lord, I take them out of all those swallowed up places. In Jesus' name, be their dwelling place, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message.